What does this mean? The church in our passion reading. Not one disciple is mentioned. Barabbas, Simon of Cyrene, and two criminals are. One we know joined the church, one we know didn't, one we think so, one we hope so. But the real question is, what about you? Why? Because a creed for the third millennium believes there's no salvation outside the church. That there is no salvation outside of the church is a teaching confessed already in the early church. But be clear on what it means. First, let's say what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean what the Roman Catholic Church historically taught, and neither does it mean what they are teaching now. As usual, the pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other. Historically, Catholicism said if you weren't under the Pope, you couldn't be saved. We declare, state, define, and pronounce that it's altogether necessary to salvation for every human creature to be subject to the Roman pontiff. That's what this Unum Sanctum said in 1302. They now say, and I'm quoting, all salvation comes from Christ the head through the church, which is his body. There is salvation not only outside of the Catholic Church, which is correct, but outside of the Christian church altogether. I again quote from their Catholic catechism. Those who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and, moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those too may achieve eternal salvation. They specifically mentioned Muslims, and I quote again from their catechism. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator, in the first place amongst whom are the Muslims. You could argue that Barabbas probably acknowledged the Creator, Simon of Cyrene was sincere, and both were moved by grace to do their best. So they were in the church. But the Catholics aren't the only ones erring in this article of faith. So do we. So when we think as long as a person has their name on a roll, they are a member of the church and have salvation. On Judgment Day, Jesus does not check the rolls of this or any other church to determine who is saved. The original error of the Catholic was you had to be in their visible organization to be saved. That error persists among us when we think church roles equal heavenly roles, or when we think salvation is found in a visible institution with a budget, a constitution, bylaws, and a building. If the church of which we speak when we say there is no salvation outside of it is not a particular church, be it Catholic or Lutheran, and if being a member of the church is not the same as having your name on some visible church's rolls, and if there is no salvation in the walls, constitutions, and organization called the church, just what does it mean to confess there is no salvation outside the church? Listen to what we confess in our third millennium creed. Only in the church does the Spirit call, gather, enlighten, sanctify, and keep people with Jesus Christ. It's true. Jesus is condemned for all sinners. It's true. He takes up the cross for all humanity. It's true. He was the growing and thriving green tree that was destroyed for the sake of all dry trees. But nowhere else on earth is the Holy Spirit calling sinners to salvation in Jesus' name, gathering them under the cross for safety, enlightening them with the faith, or giving them the holiness Christ won, except in the Christian church. How can you folks who have grown up confessing in this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins, how can you look for forgiveness anywhere else but here? How many fights I've had over the decades with members who acted like their spouse, their child, their cousin, their friend, their grandchild, had forgiveness of sins, though they never went to any church. Why do you contradict your own creed? You say it's inside the Christian church that there is forgiveness, not outside of it. It shouldn't be so hard in you. I have heard confessional Lutheran pastors argue for churchless Christians. All arguing for churchless Christians goes to the very same place. The person was baptized. They were confirmed. At one time, they confessed the faith. So even though they spent a lifetime outside the calling, gathering, lightning, sanctifying, and keeping of the Spirit, they can nevertheless be counted inside the church. You know what I have found? Those trying to defend someone else having faith almost always end up destroying their own. Second, such an argument forgets last week's sermon. Faith is not a thing once given that remains with you, and as long as you aim it towards God, you're saved. The Holy Spirit working in word and sacrament creates and keeps faith. Apart from word and sacrament, you can have man-made faith, but not saving faith. What about the Passion reading? Doesn't Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Yes, Jesus is pleading for forgiveness for all people everywhere. He's pleading for forgiveness for the Roman who holds the 9-inch spike and the other Roman swinging the hammer. He's pleading for forgiveness for those lifting his crucified body upright as the full weight of his body pulls down on the nails. He's pleading for forgiveness for all. As God's wrath against every one of your sins that you try to forget and the sins of others that we won't forget washes over him like hot lava. Well, if Jesus did this for Roman soldiers who could give a fig about who they were crucifying, if Jesus did this for Jews who made fun of his suffering, if Jesus did this for even ungodly enemies, as Romans 5 says he most certainly did, then certainly he did it for my loved one, my friend, and even for my Hindu neighbor and my Muslim co-worker who don't go to church and were never baptized or confirmed. Yes, yes, a billion times yes. The body of Christ suffers damnation and death on the cross for all. In the body of Christ, salvation is for all. So where is his body? Ephesians 1 answers. God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The body of Christ on the cross won salvation for all. The body of Christ on earth today, the church, distributes salvation to all. There's no forgiveness of sins, either daily or richly, outside of Jesus' body. And there's no eternal life either. While our creed confesses that on the last day the Spirit will raise all the dead, we also confess that He only gives eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. The rest are raised, all right, to eternal dying. Get it through your head. There is no eternal life in your heart, life, feeling, body, or soul. So stop looking for it there. Eternal life is outside of you in the body of Christ. Since the fall, we can find only death in our bodies, death in our souls, death in our lives, and death in our minds. God the Son came into a body to win everlasting life for us. Being God, He could not die. Being perfect man, He didn't deserve to die. But die He did. He died the death you know you deserve. Shame, blame, guilty as hell, and painful in the extreme. This not only pleased the Father, it satisfied his wrath. So the Father raised Jesus. The risen Jesus sent the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that he won with his body for the world, out into the world, in the preaching, teaching, baptizing, absolving, and communing of his church, his body on earth. A third millennium creed confesses that there is no salvation outside of the church, which is the body of Christ. And it confesses there is only one body, one church. We don't say, I believe in holy Christian churches, but the holy Christian church. You will say, that's ridiculous. There are over 20,000 Christian denominations, and you expect me to believe there's only one church? First, that is what all Christians everywhere confess in the Apostles' Creed. It is an ecumenical creed. That means all Christians confess it. Second, that is what the Holy Scripture teaches. Ephesians 4 says there is one Lord, one faith. Third, as a Russian proverb has it, the walls of separation do not reach up to heaven. Fourth, look at the Passion reading. Look at all the opinions of who Jesus was. Pilate thought him an innocent man. The Jewish leaders thought him an enemy. Simon of Cyrene thought Jesus was someone who ruined his day. The woman thought Jesus worthy of pity, and the criminals that he was one of their own. Did all of these conflicting opinions destroy the fact that there was only one Jesus? Did all the different opinions mean that true Jesus could not be known? Fifth, disabuse yourself of the notion that it's only our time that has a dizzying array of churches. When Paul died, the church was divided, though he struggled against schism and heresy all of his ministry. Ignatius went to his martyr's death around 90 AD with a church hopelessly torn by Gnosticism. When Constantine turned to the church for a source of unity for his empire, he found to his shock the Church of Africa had been split by the Donatist controversy. After conquering the East, Constantine found the church was torn apart by the Arian controversy. A person who looked into becoming a Christian in Rome about 150 AD found himself in the very same place a person today does. He has to ask himself, where is the true church? Our Lutheran confessions say that the article of faith that there is only one church, holy Christian church, is given to us so we don't despair. Don't despair because you see so many conflicting churches. The body of Christ, the one holy Christian church, is still on earth. It can never be divided, and it will not be removed till our head Christ descends with a shout of triumph. Wherever the gospel is preached purely, where the sacraments are dispensed as Christ directed, there you will find his holy Christian church. In this church you find the Spirit calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying, and keeping. In this church you find sins daily and richly forgiven. In this church you find eternal life given to the dead. That's the thing with the true church. The world has a habit of counting it dead, done for. There was no one on earth from Good Friday to Easter morning who thought anything other than that the body of Christ was dead and gone. But like the physical body of Christ, his spiritual body, the church, has the habit of rising again, just as his enemies are gloating and her members are despairing. Let us not despair at the apparent dividedness, weakness, or deadness of the body of Christ that those outside of her rejoice in. Let us rejoice in the certain salvation we always have inside of her. Amen.